What is up, everyone? Welcome back. It's Jack of No Trades. Just Tay and myself with you today. Tay, what's up, man?
Hello, everyone. I just got back from the city of brotherly love, Portland, Oregon. Wow.
Lovely town. Such good pizza there, man.
Yes.
Known for its pizza.
Yes. Oh, man. Sbarro. Can't beat it.
Oh, so good. I went to this one exotic place one time. It was called Papa John's. It's so good, dude.
Dude, I heard about that place. They're on TV sometimes.
Oh, it's delightful. They have this guy, Peyton Manning here. I like pizza. I love my buddy Papa John's even more. Yep. Gonna get me a Budweiser and eat me some Papa John's. So I'm glad you were able to try the local cuisine, I'm hoping, while you were there.
Yes. It was delish. I loved it. Whenever I go to a city, I gotta try some of the local cuisine. So, you know, I just type in Google Maps and type in food, and whatever chain comes up first, that's where I go. So,
have we revealed that you actually went to Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
So, see, that's how great my memory is today, dude. My brain is fried, man. Freaking fried, and I haven't even done anything. Did you get weird? Did you go, like, on any, like, vegan yoga trips? Or did you ride a bike that powered the blender that made your vegan quinoa kale smoothie? Did you do anything like that in Portland?
No, I did not. I was there visiting some friends. Grew up there as a kid. So I'm not really into that whole keep Portland weird scene, I guess. But we did go downtown, got some good food, went to this real hipster ice cream place, and you know, where they got weird flavors, where you can get, like, broccoli-flavored ice cream, and it's all organic, and you can even smell the cow's farts as you are licking your ice cream. It's quite an experience.
How long did you have to wait in line for your ice cream? I know the place you went to.
So the place I went to is called Salt and Straw. Everyone will rave about it. Oh, my gosh. They make their waffle cones from scratch. We waited in line, I think it was 45 minutes.
Shit. And that's in the middle of freaking March.
Yeah, and it was raining.
What a genius business plan. They're like, you know what? We're going to make sure there's zero room for any customers to be inside. That way, everyone has to wait outside, and therefore makes other people drive by and say, wow, that place is so good that there is a literal line around the block for their ice cream. And it drives all those people to get the ice cream in that line. How does that even work?
Well, it's even stupider that there's only one door in and one door out.
That's part of the thing. That's it.
I'm like, why don't you end the line and then people go out once they reach the end of the line through that exit? That makes more sense to me. Rather than this big traffic jam right at the door. I don't know. Places, they love that. And, like, I love their signs on the doors. They're like, we accept all types of people. I'm like, of course you do. You want our money.
We accept all types of people with money. If you don't have money, yes, get the hell out.
We don't accept poor people, meaning you don't have money in your wallet.
If you can't afford the ice cream, get the fuck out of here.
Yes. Seriously.
But if any other type of person with money, you're welcome.
I'm like, I get it. I just think if you're a business, you don't deserve or like need a political like statement, you know? Like just do your thing. You sell ice cream, okay? Very, very simple objective in life, sell ice cream. Don't get involved in the political scene. You're better off just not even sticking your head in there.
But that's the whole point, right? Is that they appeal to everyone. Therefore, people feel like they are promoting and endorsing and supporting the community by going to places like that accept all types of people. right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the business frame as well. I mean, Starbucks and places like that, they'll do these initiatives where they give discounts or give money to certain charities that support certain causes just to show that they're that type of a business. You got to work on that brand, T. You can't just forget. You can't forget about the brand here.
I guess that's true. I'm more focused on the substance of the business. Like, what do they offer? What good or service do they provide?
Yep, it's all about that cash, right? So what I think would be funny is if you went in as a Trump supporter, wearing the hat and saying the rhetoric, would they accept that type of person into their establishment, or would they get shunned? Because it's no secret that Portland is a liberal place with a left-leaning agenda.
Their sign should say, "We accept open-minded people." Meaning, well, people, or people that think like us.
Yeah, I think that might be a more specific way of doing it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know. These rallies are funny. There was a group, a pro-Trump rally in the Portland area.
Oh, a pro-Trump rally.
Yes, but then I saw on the road the anti-Trump rally started because they heard that the pro-Trump rally was going on. And say what you will, the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm not making an opinion on it. I just think it's funny when white people are protesting the Black Lives Matter agenda and there's no black people in their ranks. It's a little confusing for me.
What's confusing? It's just people supporting another group of people. That's all it is. I think it's we live in a time now where protesting is like, how do I want to say this? At one point, it was Facebook, right? And you would go to Facebook and you would say your opinions and people would argue and they'd be like, I just got to put it out there to the world that this is the way I think. And now it's moved and it's evolved that you can't just post something on the internet now because, you know, people always are going to do that now. It's so saturated with people that are just constantly trolling and spouting their opinions that the only way that you could ever make a difference now is to protest and to march. And there's a march literally every weekend in Chicago since Trump's been elected. And it's just, I guess that's the only way that people feel they can actually express themselves now as far as politically, that makes them feel like they're making a difference, while as a process in the past seemed to be way less frequent. Am I wrong here, or what's going on?
I think we're seeing a desensitization to protesting in rallies.
And I feel desensitized to it.
It loses its impact when you protest everything, you know?
Right.
You get used to it.
Yeah, because I mean, you think about Martin Luther King's march in the civil rights movement.
Yeah, that was a
big ass deal. I mean, All those people took time off to march, and that was a real huge statement. But now people do it almost recreationally. It's like, okay, Saturday's here. It's time to make your signs, and we're going downtown. I don't know. Like, it loses its push, and I know people listening might be going, those freaking bastards, they think this doesn't mean anything. I think once you do something in such a high frequency, you're bound to lose some sensitivity, right? That applies to many things in life.
Yeah.
So
well, and I think desensitization is like it's a really important concept. I was talking with some friends last night and I was talking about, like, what if we had access to the internet through our brains, right? So, like, we had an instant connection.
Are you talking about the singularity?
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. And I said, don't you guys think that was great? And then one of my friends was like, no, because people would just look at porn all the time. Like 24/7.
It'd be great for Pornhub.
And I was like, I don't know if I agree with that. I think that eventually people would get desensitized to porn, don't you think? And that they'd move on. They'd get bored with it. If you had access to every single image of porn that's ever, like, been created, you'd get bored of it eventually, right?
Well, I guess you have to think that if your mind had access to essentially do a Google search and you're able to visualize or recall any bit of information that's on the internet just through a thought, there's a whole nother realm of existence that goes even further than porn. I mean, porn may be a part of that Google search, but you would be so consumed in just everything at all times. Sports scores, you know, celebrity gossip, everything would just be funneling in and out of your brain constantly. I think people would like die. I don't know if my brain could sustain that kind of activity. I can barely hold one thought in it at one moment. I couldn't imagine multiple searches and trolls and like getting a virus into my brain because of like some hackers learned to like bioengineer a hack into our man. I mean, like there's so much that is jacked up with what you just explained that we need to get Tyler on here to talk about that because that's too much.
Okay. I was just curious to see that because I thought the desensitization.
That's a great off the rails thing. That's a great off the rails thing we could discuss.
Okay. Like,
superb. I just don't feel comfortable doing that right now. It'd be too much. Yeah. We actually wanted to talk about something way simpler today, like one of the most basic things ever, and it's freaking Nintendo. The Nintendo, the company, the new console, just a little gut reaction to the new console that's come out recently. So
all right, let's give the crowd a background on our experience with Nintendo over the years.
Okay.
Our first introductions, sure. Where we've been. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So Nintendo, I think, would have been the standard for myself growing up as far as the game console I wanted to play. When I was probably in first grade, early elementary school, I didn't have an N64, but I had a friend that had an N64, and that thing was worth more than 10 blocks of gold to me. I mean, that was the greatest thing that had ever been invented on this earth. I would go to his house, and I would just kind of drool all over that thing. I'd be like, oh, can we play it? Can we play Star Fox or something? He'd be like, yeah, okay. And it was his. So, you know, like all kids, it's like if they play it enough, they'll just get bored of it if they own it. So that was like the thing. Eventually, once like the PlayStation 2 came out, I got an N64 and I was able to really dive into some of the games that I'd liked as a kid. And that kind of let me play some like the best games ever, known as Zelda, as a kid. And just kind of from there, just kind of incrementally lost interest in most things Nintendo getting older. Not that I didn't like them, it just kind of moved away from it. So that'd be my kind of baseline as far as myself. What about you?
So I remember my first gaming experience is the Sega Genesis, shortly followed by the Super Nintendo. I remember playing the Super Nintendo, playing Donkey Kong Country.
Nice.
Great game. But I remember getting Game Boy Color first.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Game Boy Color was probably my first real experience with Nintendo, and I loved it. I had a teal Game Boy Color with Pokemon Red. I think that might have been the only game I had, but it's the only game I needed. And
that's like a 100-plus hour game right there.
Yes,
dude.
Yes. It was amazing. The reason I got a Game Boy was because I was going on a cross-country flight with my mom, and she didn't want me to be bored on the plane and bugger. So she's like, how do I entertain this kid? So they bought
the psychopath I'm putting on an airplane.
Yes. But since then, I think I've had every major home console since Nintendo 64 up to Wii U.
Damn.
So I've had N64, GameCube, the Wii, and a Wii U. I had a Game Boy Advance. That's where I ended on the mobile. I didn't get into the DS. I got a PSP. Awesome. Even though it kind of died out.
Dude, you're just straight up nerd, dude.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that Nintendo's been my main console since the Nintendo 64. It's been a secondary, and it's because of a few select titles. Zelda, the Mario games, the 3D adventure ones, whatever, the main ones, and Smash Brothers, and I guess Mario Kart. Mario Kart Double Dash is one of my favorite games.
That is the best one. The Double Dash is the best game, the best Mario Kart they ever made and ever will make. That one's phenomenal. I think Nintendo as a company and what they release is the most accessible console to the masses. They have the most basic titles. They have the simplest games. They have the brightest colors. It just appeals to everyone, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's a little nostalgic, the way they make
games. Well, and that's the thing that I wanted to really get into is, like, Nintendo is essentially what Disney is. And the Super Nintendo is held so fondly by the Gen X generation, right? Because that was, like, their console. And then, like, our generation, the millennials, we had the N64, which is just, like, that was our shit. And then the next generation, whatever the one above millennials, whatever we call them, they had the Wii. Because the Wii let you do a first original motion detection for a game. So that was super accessible to children, and your parents could play it. So Nintendo's done a great job of positioning themselves in the center as far as gaming goes, right? They're dead in the center and able to grab so many people.
Absolutely.
And so it's this cycle, right? It's because we have nostalgia from Zelda games growing up and Mario games growing up, that they're able to tap into these new games, these new Mario games, these new Zelda games, that even though they may hold true to those, like, younger demographics as far as the gameplay goes, it's still, like, something we want to do. Because we're like, oh, shit, this is going to bring me back to the glory days. Back when things actually, you know, made me feel happy. Christmas actually made it so I couldn't sleep at night the day before.
Yeah.
Make me feel things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I think Nintendo might be in trouble.
Oh, no. So let's unpack what the Switch is for people that don't know.
Okay,
so can you give us a little recap on what the new console is they just released?
Okay, so if you've been living under a rock, I'm guessing everyone who listens to this already knows what it is, but I'll say it anyway. So
give the quick rehash of it. You know a bunch about the specs and the details of its release.
Yeah, so the Switch is a hybrid home and portable console. It consists of a 7-inch tablet that puts out a 720p display for portable use. But it also has a docking.
Which is not full high definition, right?
No, 1080p is what your TV runs at. And every other video game console for the past 10 years.
Yikes.
So, it also has a docking feature. And
ooh, docking, huh?
Yeah. And that connects to your TV, so you can play on your TV. And the controllers are called Joy-Cons. And these are interesting controllers because they separate into a left hand and a right hand. And
okay.
You slide them onto the sides of the tablet for portable use. Or or you play with one in each hand if you're playing on your television.
So they don't connect.
They
don't come together and you hold it as one, like
never,
a normal, like, PlayStation controller?
They never technically come together, but you can slide them into a grip that will make it look like they're connected, like more of a traditional controller.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know.
And these controllers are very high-tech. They have what's
called... Yeah, they're motion sensor, aren't they?
They have called haptic feedback.
Oh.
Which is, it's like a high-definition vibration.
Uh-huh.
So, like, for example, it can simulate you, like, holding a cup with marbles in it, right? Uh-huh. And as you move your hand, you can feel each individual marble through vibration.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah.
Very high tech.
So I haven't actually tried one, but I've seen that, and I've seen that on tech videos and stuff. So that's like, that it's a really high tech new idea for haptic feedback in a game controller. But that's
damn.
That's the basic specs. It's a It's a hybrid portable. It's supposed to be ultra portable, but also a home console.
So I guess Nintendo is trying to make it so that you can game at all hours of the day in any situation that you're in.
Yes. That's the idea.
How is that? I don't know. Like, who honestly would utilize those features? Like, the constant. Like, I get if you want one or the other, but, like, they made it look so seamless. Like, you wake up in the morning, and you play Zelda on your home TV, and then after you finish your breakfast somehow, between playing, you connect it to your little tablet, and you walk out the door, and you play all day on the bus, and you go to work and you just keep playing it at your desk, and then you go home and you plug it back in and you just keep playing. Like, it just seems kind of intense as an experience, in my opinion.
It doesn't appeal to me personally, the portability of it. I would leave that thing docked at all times. I would never take it out of the dock.
Well, that thing is what? It's like $300?
Yeah.
And I know, like, a phone is, like, an iPhone is expensive. Like, it's worth money, and we carry that everywhere we go. But there's so much more utility in a phone that you use it, you know, how you use it, versus a gaming console that...
Right, even an iPad, which
get a little hesitant carrying that everywhere.
Which is much more powerful than a Nintendo Switch.
So Nintendo essentially has made it so that the way you play is what's most important versus maybe the product that they're putting on the screen in a lot of ways.
Nintendo has always cared more about the gameplay experience than the graphics or how it looks, right? It's like quality game design over power. I mean,
but you think they could at least do 1080p, a normal high def. I mean, we're not talking 4K or anything crazy. Like, is it really that much more expensive or difficult to make it that degree of graphic level, I guess?
I'm not sure why. You're referring to the tablet, right? Why is it the tablet in 1080p?
Well, the console itself doesn't even broadcast at 1080p, right?
It does on a TV.
Oh, it does on a TV, not the tablet. Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. I thought it was at a lower rate. On even the TV.
Yeah, so one argument is it's a smaller screen, so it can make up for the lack of pixels.
Uh-huh.
And it's also, it consumes less power. But
gotcha.
But still, your cell phone runs at 1080p and has a better battery life than the Switch. The battery life on the Switch is about 3 to 6 hours.
So that's like nothing after a month of using it.
You're
getting like 2 hours on it.
Yeah, I've seen somebody said they played Zelda for 3 hours and then they had to charge it. So I think it's on the lower end. It's never the highest, like on the max of the battery life.
Whenever the max of the battery life, it's essentially you have it, the screen brightness to all the way to the bottom. So
yes.
You can't even see anything.
Airplane mode, non-camping. Yeah.
You're not even able to use it.
Yeah.
Such a scam. So have you played... I heard through the grapevine that you might have played the new Zelda, though, on your old Nintendo console. I don't know what that shitty thing's called.
Yes, I have been playing Zelda on the Wii U. And let me say, it is a fantastic addition to the Zelda franchise.
Damn. Is it feeling better than any other Zelda game you've played before?
Honestly, it might be the best Zelda game I've played.
That's big time, dude.
It's a much needed facelift to the Zelda franchise.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
It's weird, but it feels really old at the same time as it feels new. It's weird.
Interesting.
It's like they've gone back to the roots of the original Zelda for the NES.
Like, oh, so like pre-Ocarina of Time.
Pre-Ocarina, like, even.
Wow.
Because I haven't beat it. I'm not very far into the game, just a few hours. But you wake up, and they're like, all right, here's the world. Go have fun. And you just go.
Wow.
It's not...
None of this, like...
Go here.
Make you do little side missions or...
You need to go here to get this, blah, blah, blah. It's just, all right, where do you want to go? You need to... They give you, obviously, some objectives. It's like...
Uh-huh.
But, like, it's really up to you to figure out how to get there, which order you're going to do things in, and how you're going to survive.
That's the way to succeed, dude. That's how you make a winning game.
Yeah.
Leave it open. The best games you can play are ones that you feel like you can actually make decisions, and the world you're inhabiting is real. And so from what everything I've read and heard, this world seems very real, very surprising. You can find things at your own pace, just like you said. That sounds freaking dope.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Witcher 3.
Okay.
Which is an amazing game.
Yeah. So for me with Zelda, it's kind of the benchmark for single-player adventure games go. As a younger kid playing Ocarina of Time, that was like an accomplishment after I beat that game. Because it took actual like thinking to get through some of like the temples they have you do, like the dungeons you have to go through, the puzzles essentially. It has great music. The story makes sense and it's compelling. The gameplay works really well. So it's kind of just like the benchmark for me. And I know these last couple ones that they've released on like the Wii, they kind of dropped a little bit. I thought it seemed like they kind of got a little bit distracted. And this one seems like it's just brought it back up to total form. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. They have these like mini dungeons, like puzzle rooms. That are just a blast because they're short. Because, you know, like before, it's like I'm doing a dungeon. It's like, is it going to take me an hour, 2 hours? When's this thing end? And you like forget, like it's so big. Like these mini puzzles are great because they're just quick, like 10, 15 minutes, just a few puzzles. And then you're on your way and there's a lot of them. And they're just all over the place in random spots. And it's just, I really enjoy it. I like the realistic survival stuff. Like, you're impacted by weather conditions and stamina and your items break. And it's like, you start out with nothing and you just find stuff. It's pretty cool.
You just scavenge like an animal.
You start out naked even. So,
So does it get what? Like a teen rating?
Yeah.
Dang, dude. Scandalous.
You see his big schlong.
Oh gosh.
I'm just kidding.
You're describing what I think is supposed to be like a teenage boy. So nice. Wow.
But it's the first Zelda game with voice acting, which is a little weird.
Oh, does Link talk?
Everyone talks but Link.
Oh.
And you
for the record, the boy is named Link for those that don't play Zelda. Zelda's the princess. So don't think that the Link guy is named... Yeah, whatever. So does he talk?
No, everyone talks but Link.
Oh, I thought he talked.
Nope.
In this one. All right. So, what are your thoughts with the Switch overall? So, it obviously has a great release with this new Zelda game, but you don't even need to play it on the Switch. So, what's going to make people go buy it? I know it's selling like crazy right now, but...
There's a lot of Nintendo fanboys out there. Uh-huh. So, initially, it's going to sell like crazy. That's just a given. Uh-huh. But everything I've seen, reviews from reputable tech companies and websites and gaming websites, they're like, Zelda is amazing. It's an amazing title, but there's not much else going on that's good about the Switch.
Dang.
There's just a lot of things that they just, it seems like, why didn't you add this to the, I'm talking about the hardware specifically, not even the, not even the titles, the software. just a lot of, like, for example, the tablet doesn't have Bluetooth connectivity. Why wouldn't you do that?
So what does that, I mean, what does that limit it? Like, how does that limit the console?
Well, I mean, for portability, right? Most people, I think a lot of people have Bluetooth headphones at this point.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to listen to the sound on an airplane if I can't even connect my headphones, you know? It's something that...
Oh, yeah.
Or the fact that you can't charge the controllers when they're in the grip controller. Which is just a pain. You have to take them out to be able to charge it.
Jeez. Freaking Nintendo, dude. Those bastards.
And the tablet doesn't have an HDMI out, so if you want to play, let's say you brought your Switch to a friend's house, to play it on their TV, you have to bring your dock with you too, which isn't that portable.
Huh. Well, that's why we're PlayStation people, dude.
Exactly.
Just gonna say it. We've grown up.
Yeah.
Done with Nintendo's shitty games.
I'm
figuratively and literally.
The only thing they have on me is that I love Zelda.
Yeah, so do I, but I'm still not gonna drop $400 on a console just to play one game.
I know.
Like, I'm a grown ass adult. I got bills to pay. And I got nothing figured out.
Nice Taylor Swift reference. But luckily these consoles drop in price pretty quickly. So like if you scour like Craigslist or something like that, you can typically find one for pretty cheap a few years after it's come out. Which is
not a bad idea.
Which is what I did with the Wii U. I split it with somebody 50-50. We got it for $200. So okay. And then I was sad that the Switch came out before a new Zelda, but I'm also very happy that I didn't have to buy the Switch to play the new Zelda.
So when are we going to get to the point where consoles are no longer external physical devices that we have to buy and everything's just uploaded to essentially a portal, which would be like a TV screen where everything's cloud-based and you just log into a service that lets you play games and do shit? How far out are we for that? Because that's got to be the next step.
Well, we kind of already have that.
Where you can just buy a TV and then like go get a separate controller or some kind of device.
With PC gaming, we almost have that.
We still need a PC.
Right, but are you saying where the TV itself includes the gaming device? Is that what you're asking?
Exactly. Essentially, just like how you can buy a smart TV that has Netflix app and Hulu app and all those things built into it. You don't need another device. You just have the TV because it's able to like connect to it via Wi-Fi and the TV's just supporting it with an app. At what point are gaming devices going to be obsolete and it's all just going to be based through the internet?
Because
like you said, we're not that far away.
Yeah.
You can buy every game digitally now. You don't have to put anything into your PS4. You could have every single thing available ever that's been created for it with nothing hard.
TVs are going to have to get much more powerful.
Yeah.
Processing power wise. I don't see that happening for probably at least 10 years. Down the road.
10, 15?
Yeah. I just don't... It'd be too expensive to make a all-in-one TV game device that is that powerful. I mean, just look at it. That's essentially a handheld is, right?
Yeah.
A gaming device with its own monitor, which is kind of what you're saying, just on a bigger scale.
But you agree with me, though, that's essentially where we're headed.
Yeah, that's the only logical way it could be going. Because we're already trying it. That's what the Switch is kind of trying to do.
Yeah, in a sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll be curious to see how, like, VR platforms change. Because that might be the way they do it, is through, like, a VR headset.
Yeah.
That... all gaming's done through that, so maybe not like a physical, like a big ass TV you'd put on your wall, but just something you'd put on your head, and that would have everything you'd need.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. Possibilities are endless. Technology is bad shit crazy, man. It changes so fast.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Obsolescence in technology sucks.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to some more deeper topics with Tyler. We got a great off the rails episode we're cooking up for you. That should be coming out the end of March. So we got other things coming up for you guys. Anything you're going to want to talk about in the near future, Tay? I'm real excited about NBA playoffs.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
I'm excited to talk some NBA. There's some interesting movies coming out in the next couple months that I'm also excited to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited for The Circle. I think that could be a real interesting movie.
Huh. You're going to have to fill me in on that one. I'm not aware of that one. We got March Madness coming up as well. I know both of us are not college basketball people, but we will be filling out brackets. So maybe we can come up with something fun to do to incorporate how we approach our brackets. Maybe we could do a live bracket filling out podcast.
That would be good.
We could just, I'm going to say that right now, brainstorming. We can debate each school by any logic that we can come up with for why that team's going to win.
Okay, I like it.
Just do it live.
We'll do it live!
The brackets should come out, what, next week?
The tournament?
Because the tournaments are this week, right?
The tournament starts, I think, 13th of March.
Oh, is the full, like, the full tournament or, like,
rounds,
the individual conference tournaments?
Rounds 1 and 2.
The conference tournaments are this week.
Yeah, rounds 1 and 2 start 13th or 14th of March, I think.
Damn. It's going to be dope. It's always fun. Even if you're not a huge college basketball fan, it's just amazing to watch some close basketball games. And just the odds of it all, there's always great games to catch and crazy moments that happen.
Yep.
And it's a great primer for the NBA playoffs, which is the real freaking deal.
The coup de
crâ. I think this year's playoffs are going to be awesome, assuming people stay healthy. There's some great teams in both conferences. It's going to be freaking fun. I can't wait.
Yep, and poor Kevin Durant, rest his soul. Oh, he's hurt. I hope he's back. Psych! I'm glad he got hurt.
It's better if everyone's healthy, dude. I feel bad for Bogut, too. Breaking his leg that quickly, that sucks.
First minute. How do you break your leg playing basketball?
If anyone's going to do it, he does it.
Yeah.
He hurts his leg every year, it feels like.
He's like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
Mr. Glass. Yep, 7-foot Mr. Glass. Sucks to be him. Well, T, thanks for this. Good luck with your Zelda playing. Try and have a life still.
If you have a Wii U, or if you're wanting to play the new Zelda, don't have either, go buy the Wii U. They did a graphics comparison. They are the exact same. You'll save a lot of money. Highly recommend it on Wii U. Go get it. It's an amazing game. Probably the best game of 2017. I'm already saying it.
Wow. Wow. High praise from a serious gamer. All right, everybody. Have fun out there. Don't get sucked down the virtual black hole that is technology and video games. It'll destroy your life. Be real people. All right, everybody. Until next week, we'll talk to you later. We're out.